Visit our gallery's arts festival and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's Gift Shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8255.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you are tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thank you so much for joining us. Sometimes I wish you could see all the stuff that happens in studio, but we don't have any live cams right now, and maybe that's okay. We are going to play a tune here just to open us up and get us ready, maybe jumpstart your morning and your imagination. I have a CD from Laura Caviani, who was here last week, and I tell you, if you haven't listened to that interview, I don't often say this, but I really think you should go listen to it on kymnradio.net. It was extraordinary, and I was so pleased to be able to meet her and hear her music. She is playing as part of the 411 Concert Series, which is Saturday. That happens at the Armory, downtown Northfield. So you can get tickets at northfieldartsguild.org, but she has this new CD, Confluence, and the first song on that is In the Moment. And so we're going to play a little bit of that for you as we open up Art Zany Radio. So take a listen. This is a really lovely tune. I don't think we'll get to play it all, but let's set our minds and let's try to be in the moment like she suggests in the song title. There's not a good spot to interrupt this song because it pulls you in. That bass was great. That's Laura Caviani. That was she was with Chris Bates and Dave Schmallenberger. So a really great tune and set. She is going to be the opening act for Davina and the Vagabonds at the 411 concert. That's this Saturday at the Armory downtown. You can get information at northfieldartsguild.org. Just absolutely love it. I'm having a great time with her music. Very excited. She is here in Northfield, and she's going to be performing this, so you'll get to hear more of her. So that was a really great way to open it up, and I love the idea of In the Moment. That was the name of the tune, and that is something that I think about a lot. It is really hard to be in the moment, and I think it's hard to hold on to that feeling. I know I try to do that, especially in interviews. I think it's really important, but even as I go about my day-to-day life, it gets really hard because we're often thinking about, we ping back and forth between what just happened and where we're going and checking our screens, managing our stuff, solving problems, doing all our daily chores, zipping and sliding around our little worlds. We're all caught up in our own little jumbles. It's hard to grab onto in the moment. And maybe that's why, as we get older, I know I've pondered this before on the show, why time seems to go faster. There must be something to it about that. And, when we do have those moments, I want to recreate them again and again. And, there was a dinner last night at our family. It was so joyful because we were all together and we were all laughing. It felt really great. I want to recreate that. There's walks with the dogs when I walk and I see the sky do something that just I've never seen before. And it just, it catches you, and that those are the things I want to repeat. Maybe it's a connection you make over with a coworker or a real human moment. Those are important. Books that take you away. A show that you see and it makes you remember. It makes you connect to a part of yourself. I love that. And there are moments when you feel energy from the world. And I want to tell you right now, this is going to be hard for me to tell you how much I love Arts for Martin, because it is one of those times. It only comes around once a year, but I make sure, as long as everybody is healthy and I can make it to the show, to go each January to Arts for Martin out at Arcadia Charter School, because it is absolutely one of those moments where I am in the moment. It's the place I find peace, hope, and connection for that year to come. And it also reminds me how fast the past year has gone by. That always happens. Every year I'm sitting there thinking, wasn't I just here? Didn't I just sit? It's a really cool feeling. It is Arts for Martin out at Arcadia. And I really want to try. Sometimes when you love something so much, it's really hard to be able to tell people what that is. So we're going to do that today. And I'm very excited to do that. I want to turn on the mics and have Bob Gregory Bjorklund join me in the studio. Good morning.
Hello, Paula.
So great to see you.
Good to be here.
Yeah. We should figure out someday. You were asking me before the show started how many shows I've done.
Like 300,000 or something.
Yeah, you've done a lot of shows.
Well, that, yeah.
So that would be fun to see how many, because you've been a great guest on Art Zany Radio. Co-host, practically, we should just call it.
No, I don't think so. It's a great opportunity to talk about arts that are going on in the community.
And we live in one of those communities where we have deep pools of talent and great stuff happening. Mm-hmm. Also joining us, Sam Wilmot. Welcome again to Art Zany Radio.
Thanks, Paula.
I hope this is one, you've been here before, and I hope we continue, even though I know you are you a senior this year?
I am a senior, so.
That just kind of boggles the mind. Again, one of those time moments like, wait, I remember Sam on Bridge Square selling all those crafts that Origami, yes.
Right, yeah. I was on the radio for that.
Yes, I remember. That was one of the Saturday market events.
How old were you then?
I think I was in fifth grade. Whatever age fifth graders are.
11, probably. Yeah, so that was a few years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam, what are you doing next year?
Next year I'll be going to Carleton College.
I've heard of that place.
That's so exciting. So there might be chances for you to come
I'll
back
still
down.
Be in town. Yeah.
You'll be in town. You can tell us about the arts happening up at Carleton, because I assume you'll want to continue.
Yeah.
There's opportunities, mm-hmm. And that's really kind of cool. I'm excited mm-hmm. for you.
So am I.
That's a fabulous thing. And we are here for Arts for Martin, which I read is celebrating the 15th year.
It's our 15th. Arcadia is in its 16th year this year.
Wow.
Talk about time moving.
Yeah.
Right? It's a crazy thing. We opened our doors in 2003. And we started Arts for Martin in our second year. So this is our 15th year.
That is a phenomenal legacy, right? I mean, mm-hmm. and I think I'm not the only one who looks forward to this every year. I think there's a lot of people who love this particular event.
It's a good night.
Yeah. What do you think keeps it going and keeps it meaningful for people?
Well, when you asked that question, my first thought was the wealth of artists in our community.
Mm.
For people who are not familiar with the Arts for Martin, this is a call to artists from around our community, from around Northfield. So this is, I think I've got that cough. This is not just an Arcadia production. This is an Arcadia in conjunction with many, many different artists, sometimes from Carleton, sometimes from St. Olaf, sometimes from Northfield High School or the Northfield Middle School or Prairie Creek, or independent artists like Craig Wasner and Sherry Setchell,
mm-hmm.
All who come in to create art that reflects on the life of Martin Luther King.
And that is what brings everybody together. It truly is a reflection of our community and an opportunity for us to be reminded of that mm-hmm. and to reflect a little on the, as a subtitle of the event is Gathering Community, Creating Art, Celebrating Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
It's Friday the 18th, so we want you to put that on your calendar.
From today.
7 p.m. at Arcadia Charter School,
mm-hmm.
which is easy to find. You just head on Highway 3, and then it is behind
the Perkins.
I hope that's not the tagline.
Also, the safety center now.
Adjacent to the safety center.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue.
It's getting complicated.
Near a car dealership.
Mm-hmm. And Sam, you've been participating in Arts for Martin for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to hear from your perspective, as you've grown up with this, what keeps you coming back to it? Because it's an optional event, right? It's not a...
Yeah, it's not required. Well, when I was in middle school, the choir sounded interesting, and I had fun the first year I tried out in sixth grade, so I kept doing the choir in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And then in high school, I've been in dance each year, because, Sherry Setchell's a great teacher.
Oh, she's amazing, yeah.
And if you're in dance, you do have to go, so then it becomes mandatory.
Ah.
So that also makes it so... it's mandatory for me to go to this great event. That's not I'm not just going because it's mandatory, but that's a reason I've kept going back. And also, I think the event just keeps going because the community obviously loves it so much. Like, there's always a big audience each time, which is why it keeps happening, and we keep getting great artists to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a celebration because, all disciplines and all ages and all levels are a part of this celebration. So it's not a show that you would see. I think maybe that's part of the element that makes Arts for Martin incredible is there's nothing like it in our community that has that many different reflections of who we are.
I don't think so. You'll see, as you said, all areas of the arts. You'll see a visual aspect, you'll see dance, you'll see spoken word and music, and what am I missing? Literary.
Poetry? Is there poetry this year?
A bit of poetry.
Okay.
Well, we'll see where Paul goes with it.
Okay.
Our presenter, who we'll talk about, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it is just that one night, so there's only one time, mm-hmm. one place to see it. So, and it's usually, I don't know if this is what I, it's also one of the coldest nights of the year. But maybe it won't be.
I don't know what a week from now is supposed to bring us.
Me either.
But
it's a great place to, just go back and reconnect with, that it's a marker, right, of what has happened in the past year. And I think the like I mentioned in the opening, the biggest part for me is I walk away feeling, okay, we can do this. Okay, we're going to get through. Okay, mm-hmm. there's hope. And the words mm-hmm. of Martin Luther King Jr. often, bring that to us through these mm-hmm. these performances and arts and speakers.
And we need to keep remembering that, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we do.
That's part of it too, right?
We do.
I was just listening to a story this morning about 1968 and how that year has just been so constructive and important in our American history, and how it continues to influence and shape our times.
Yeah.
He was a big part of that whole era, and sometimes it's easy to look past that and think that's back, but there's elements that ring true.
Well, in your introductory piece today, you talked about being in the moment. Can I connect that in a couple ways?
Love it.
Great. So this evening is in the moment, isn't it?
It really is, and that you do get swept away. You do get pulled, and that feels really powerful.
You know, in any good performance piece, theater should take you somewhere, right? Should move you to someplace. I think this evening does that. Even though it's a combination of performance pieces, I think this evening does that, so that by the end of the evening, we're in a different place than where we started.
I think that's true.
And it's a good place.
Let me ask, as a performer, because I know I feel that as an audience member, do you feel that as a performer? Does that come through for you, that something incredible is happening and I'm a part of it?
A bit. Mostly right before the dance, I'm worried about the dance. And then during the dance, I focus on the dance.
Right.
Right after the dance, I'm like, oh, the dance went well, thank goodness. And then I wander around and start watching from the back of the crowd. But, yeah, it does mean a lot. And, yeah.
So let's take that opportunity then to have you tell us a little bit about the dance that you'll be performing. And you mentioned choreography, too, so let's hear about that.
So Sari Satchel choreographed the dance because she is our dance teacher. The people who will be dancing will be the Arcadia school dancers. That's myself, Eli, Stella, Tabitha, Sage. So there's five of us this year, which is smaller than past years, but hopefully that number will grow again in the future. We're going to be dancing to a song called What It Is Worth by Buffalo Springfield. We've been choreographing that for a few weeks now. And we've gone through it all, and now we're just putting the finishing touches on it this week, or next week, I guess, now.
And that's a song, you and I were just listening to a little snippet of it ahead of time, that once you hear it, I think you'll remember it.
Yeah.
It doesn't ring off the title doesn't work. There's a line in it.
Yeah, the main line you might remember is, "Stop, children, what's that sound?"
Yeah, doesn't that immediately
Everybody
hear the music.
Look what's going around.
Do you know what era that's from? It's an oldie.
Well, you're talking about 1968. It's close.
It's the 70s, probably?
I think it's the 70s. I want to say the early 70s, but I'm not certain. Sherry will know for sure.
Yeah, so you can maybe find out when we go to the Arts for Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And so, folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Grandquist. We're here talking with Bob Gregory Bjorklund and Sam Wilmot about this year's celebration. Each year is unique because of the people that come. You ask for volunteers of the community. One of those elements is the choir. I thought we should make sure and mention that, because there's songs that are traditional and songs that are for this night. So tell us about this year's choir.
Sure. We'll be gathering our community singers. And you know what? Hey, you folks out in Radio Land, you're welcome to come sing with us.
Right, because it's not too late. You haven't missed rehearsals.
No.
You're ready to jump in if you'd like.
No, we'll be doing a rehearsal on this coming Tuesday, January 15th at 7 o'clock at Arcadia in our great room, which is in the back of the building. And the community is invited to come sing with us. Everything that we do is very accessible. Musically.
And you'll have music and
the
rehearsal so that you can, all they need is your voice, right?
Yes. And you talk about things that we do traditionally. Our good friend Dan Coleman, composer here in Northfield, wrote a piece for our first Arts for Martin, Dr. Martin. And so at the end of every Arts for Martin, we sing that, and then we invite the audience to sing with us, and we all sing We Shall Overcome together.
It gives me chills just to to sit here and remember some of the moments that have happened, because it's kind of electric. That's a word that I would describe. And drumming, is there drumming this year?
I will have some drummers right at the beginning to just get everybody's attention quick, and then the Prairie Creek Orchestra. We'll jump into action.
That's always a treat to see kids who are learning on the strings, and they are so excited to be there, and they have prepared something, and I know they've worked for a long time on that piece, and it comes together, and it's just kind of joyful to see them on the stage. And the music is also Craig Wozner. And what is his group?
Well, Craig Wozner and Dave Miller. If people don't know Dave, they should know Dave, who's a teacher up in Apple Valley, middle school band teacher.
Okay.
Has lived down in here in Northfield for many, many years.
That's my home
Raises
turf.
Raised his family, really. Dave's a great player, as is Mark Fisher.
Right.
Sweet little trio.
And that, I think, because he's so good at just playing in the moment, right? So it's taking a little longer for the orchestra to get off, and he just it comes up with something that keeps us going.
And let me continue. In fact, let me backtrack a little bit, going back to the singers. Is that one fun thing will be that the community singers will also get to sing with the St. Olaf Gospel Choir.
Whoa!
Arts for Martin. They're coming down off the hill, and they'll be with us that night. They'll sing some of their own songs, but then they'll join us for Dr. Martin at the end also.
Ooh, that's a reason to show up. And if you're feeling like, wow, I don't know if I could do this, or I'm not sure. I trust us on this. This is one of those moments that comes around just that once a year, and it kind of helps you make it through the winter, right?
Yeah. But I want to make sure that we mention that the Laura Baker Choir will be there also.
Which is one of the closing acts.
Always there.
Thrill. Having the Laura Baker guys on. And then we get to sing together.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be a big group this year.
I would think it's with the gospel choir and the community choir. There is something about bringing voices together bringing people to one common element.
Interesting what music does, isn't it?
Yeah, that's such a true thing.
Yeah.
So we want people to join. But every year, the other thing that's always delightful, and you connect with so many phenomenal people, and so the each year there's a guest speaker, and that changes the shape of the night, because each guest speaker brings their experience, their stories, their connections. And this year's presenter is Paul Briggs. He's an assistant professor of art and art history at St. Olaf College, and I love this about what he in the little bio. He's convinced that art can help us grow spiritually. His artwork and research centers around art making as a spiritual practice. What a perfect guest speaker. I have not met him, so I'm really excited to learn about his work and hear his story. Tell us how you connected with him.
I connected with him through Mac Gimsey.
He was a guest speaker a couple years ago?
Yes. Yeah. So Mac Gimsey is a retired St. Olaf art professor, a neighbor of mine out in Dundas, and a wonderful fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And he presented, is it a couple years? I lose track.
Or maybe it was last year. I don't know.
I lose track.
But do you remember,
when
Sam?
When was it? When
you
was
have
it?
A younger brain?
I'm not sure.
Okay, good.
And Mac had a wonderful presentation, and he showed sculptures and talked, and also read his poetry related to the sculptures. And Mac said to me, "You need to talk with Paul Briggs."
And so he was the one that connected those dots. And it is a perfect combination. What he states, I thought this was fascinating too. I will be talking about how Dr. King shared his life for what he believed. We do not honor Dr. King because he was a perfect person, but because he believed we could all be better human beings. I am fascinated by how he fully shared his life on behalf of all people. When we teach our children to share, is there a time in life when we expect them to stop growing in this human characteristic? I think Dr. King's life is an example of the kind of creative sharing that is possible for us all. that idea of creative sharing is a perfect way to think about this night, Arts for Martin.
Yeah. But when I hear that again, and I'm looking at it with you, the sentence, when we teach our children to share, is there a time in life when we expect them to stop?
Mm.
In other words, even when they become adults, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you want to talk about in the moment? There's the moment. This is the moment.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
What do you hear when you hear some of those ideas and words, Sam? I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, so you have a minute to think.
I don't have a quote in front of me. Can I?
Yeah, you can take a look at the quote. And I think it's always fascinating to think about how the younger generation experiences this, and then how that changes. But it reminds me that, as he says, that you know the human experience, we're not done. We're never done, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's always opportunities to grow and change.
Well,
and
I'm going to venture this before Sam jumps in.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time with middle schoolers at Arcadia as their advisor in conversation with them. This is something that every school does, is we talk about how do we live together? How do we live civilly together? How do we share together?
Mm.
And when I talk with my middle schoolers about that, but we see adults who aren't doing that, there's a disconnect, pure and simple.
And they're smart enough to pick up and know that and you question
bet.
It and wonder.
Mm-hmm. Do as I say, not as I do.
Mm.
Right? Kids learn by watching us.
That's so true.
What are we doing? Are we sharing? Sounds like a kindergarten idea. We need to share now. We're adults. We need to share now.
Absolutely true.
First off, I really like how it phrases the honoring, that not because he's a perfect person, but because he believed we could be better and because of what he did. Because, you know, no one's perfect.
No.
Like, if your role model, if you think your role models are perfect, then, it can be nice to, you know, build someone up, but then that might make it seem like it's harder for yourself to make an impact. And, like, you don't have to be perfect to make an impact.
Right.
And the sharing is really important. Like, just from a straight up, like, efficiency level, I have been to two classes of macroeconomics. Well, not, I mean, two, you know, meetings of one class, not two different classes.
Okay.
And, like, we haven't talked about a lot, but we've talked about, you know, when two people work together, it's almost always more output. There's always more things that can be done when you have people that work together.
That's essential.
And also, a lot of, like, issues that can arise can come from just not sharing. Like, this is, you know, like, from, like, TV shows. Like, some TV shows, the plot is, like, characters not getting along because they don't share information. Like, they keep a secret, and then that causes tension, and then things go poorly because they didn't share, and then they resolve that tension. And I don't really like TV shows that are like that. Like, I'd rather watch a TV show where the plot is something else that's interesting, and the characters can be decent people and share with each other and get along and, you know, be positive.
I hadn't thought about that idea of how that drives story and how that, you know, creates problems and the differences. So that's a really, I'm still grasping the idea, but it's really insightful, I think, for you to bring that up.
Well, one thing that I also like about what Paul is saying here is that you're talking about being in the moment. You're talking about being in the present. Paul, in this paragraph, has brought Dr. King into the present, into the moment.
Mm-hmm.
When I sat down with Paul, and I do this with all artists, I ask them to think about and reflect on not just who is Martin Luther King, what did he do, but why is he important to us, to me, here in Northfield?
That's a big part of it.
And now in 2019.
2019, wow.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. It's 2019.
And that's the here and now, and that's in the moment. Why is he important now? And Paul has gone right to that,
mm-hmm.
just within these couple of sentences.
And so he's going to be presenting that mm-hmm. for the evening, giving us a little mm-hmm. more insight into that thought and mm-hmm. expanding that.
And I should tell you also that Paul will has a guest artist with him, Arnisha Williams, who is a dance instructor at St. Olaf. And I don't totally know what they'll be doing, but
something.
We'll be looking forward to that also.
Fabulous. That is kind of the mm-hmm. great thing about the night is it unfolds as, you invite people to come. Mm-hmm. You know generally the group that's here, but each night, each experience is its own expression of what that means from their heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think you bring out from people is you let them connect to that and give them freedom.
Good to hear.
Yeah. No, it comes across. And when people are performing from that place, I think at our dinner table last night, we were talking about the idea of cooking from love. You know, how you can tell mm-hmm. when somebody's food has been cooked from love, mm-hmm. and when, because we had some really good cornbread. I mean, it was really good. And my son had helped make it, and I was telling him he must have added some love, and there was a debate whether that's true or not.
Okay.
But I think that your performers all bring that, they somehow connect and bring that forward of what those ideas mean to them now in the here and how they want to express it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about the very first thing you're going to see when you walk into Arcadia for Arts for Martin, the mural. Do tell this year what, because it's always something amazing and just, I don't know how to describe it. I often take pictures because it's so incredible.
This year is a little more simple than other years.
Okay.
When you walk in, you will simply see Martin Luther King.
Mm.
That one person.
And who is created? Is this been a group project to students of Arcadia, or
this has been a group project with some students and some graduates of Arcadia also, and so we've been in a transition state. So Alden Christopher O'Hark started it, and he's done a number of the murals in past years. Along with help from Marie-Louise Wheeling.
Yes.
Who's an eighth grader who's now coming into this. So Alden is partly handing this off to Marie-Louise as he's moving out. But then we needed to bring in a couple of other artists to help finish it off.
So it is.
Sorry about that,
cough. That's okay.
And their names are Nicte Marikine Haslett.
A name we know. Mm-hmm. She's a graduate, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. And also Caitlin Kelly.
Oh, I don't know Caitlin.
Who went to Arcadia in middle school and is a graduate of Northfield High School. They're out and in college now.
Whoa.
And so we needed a group effort to get this one done.
And this is going to, so that's
but
a part of this.
People will walk into a very large MLK.
And that is sets the tone, I think.
Yes.
It always does. It's just that idea of seeing what everybody is contributing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like this big feast of coming together, and everybody is having a part of creating that moment.
Yeah.
So I kudos to you, because I know this isn't, the other thing we should share with people, because they might be thinking, oh, wow, this might be a really tough ticket to get, right? Or it's free admission.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So there's no requirement, which I find phenomenal that this is just a night of mm-hmm. coming together for that.
Well, we at Arcadia want you to come and join us.
Mm.
We want you to be part of the evening. We want you to, if you haven't been to Arcadia, see Arcadia. See who we are. See what's important to us.
Yeah, maybe we should have, mm-hmm. Sam, I'll have you answer the question, because there might be people, if they're new to town or don't have kids at that middle school, high school level, mm-hmm. Wondering, Arcadia, I haven't heard of that. What is Arcadia Charter School?
Arcadia Charter School is a project-based school. Like, that's probably the most important thing you need to know about it. And that basically means that there's more free time in days, especially as you get older and you choose your schedule more at the school. And in that free time, you have the option to work on homework, but it's primarily focused towards project work time, where you have a project that you get to choose, and then you research it, and then you can present it in kind of any way you want. Like, you can do an art project where you paint something, which can be something you see or just something you imagine. You can do, like, any kind of, like, social studies, math, science, biology project you want. Like, if you have an interest, like, a specific aspect of history, you can do a project on that. and then you get credit for that area as long as you make sure to talk to the person who oversees that area of credit at the school and make sure you hit the right requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And that freedom can be really great. If you are someone who's motivated and wants the option to explore what you want, it can be a great school for you. I love the school, and I know lots of people who love it. I wouldn't universally recommend it. I know there are some people who find that much freedom overwhelming, and they'd like a little more structure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great school.
It's one of the options in the Northfield school district for a charter school. And if
the teacher part of me can add a couple things.
Of course.
Because, Sam, I think you're hitting it very well from a high school perspective. So, first of all, people need to know that, number one, we are a public school. Charter schools in Minnesota are public schools, which means we get the same funding as every school in the state, which means also that we satisfy the same graduation standards as every school in the state. That's important for people to know. We can go about it in somewhat different ways. But the structure piece relaxes more and more as you become juniors and seniors particularly. But before that, we also have classes that are making sure that we're covering those standards. So in middle school, it's kind of a combination of classes and projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Middle school has a lot of required classes.
Right.
And then a few electives. And then
yeah.
As you get into high school, that starts to change.
There you go. Yeah.
And so that's
we call ourselves a hybrid.
And for some students, that's an incredible opportunity, and it's something that the community should know as an option, and this is a great way for you to step inside those walls and say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful thing, because that is great to have choice in our in our community when it comes to education, because there's different ways of learning, and I love that about this particular world. What else are we missing? I guess I feel like there must be some other aspects of the evening that we haven't highlighted yet, because a lot happens. It starts at 7 o'clock. Again, that is Friday, the 18th of January at 7, so that's next week. Add it to your calendar now. Arts for Martin, Gathering Community, Creating Art, Celebrating Martin Luther King. And I'm here with Bob Gregory-Bjorklund, Sam Wilmot. And I'm thinking we've covered a lot of it, but what else do we want? We should tell the story about your letters you brought.
Sure.
Do you want to do that?
But how did all this begin?
Yeah.
So how much time do we have?
When do you guys need to be back for class? I guess we can only go to the top of the
11:30
hour.
11:30 noon. So let me see if I can encapsulate this. How about, Paula, ask me the question, how did the Arts for Martin come into being?
So, Bob, this has been 15 years, but it's been a while since we've talked about how this all began, because this was early on.
That's a great question, Paula.
Yeah. Tell us about the beginnings of Arts for Martin.
Okay. In the beginning. Well, actually, we're going back to Arcadia's beginning. Which at the beginning was Art Tech.
Yes, it took me a long time to convert.
Uh-huh.
So now you're going to mix me up, and I might say that again.
Yes, we were Art Tech. And I sat down with my director, and I said, you know, we need to get connected with our community, with the entire community. People need to, some of what we just talked about, people need to know us. They need to get familiar with us, understand who we are, what we're about, what's important to us. Things like, hey, here's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the Arts for Martin came out of a name of a concert I'd heard about up in the Twin Cities called Music for Martin. I'm not sure who did it. It may have been the Sounds of Blackness, wonderful gospel choir up in the cities. And I said to my director at the time, Tim Goodwin, I said, so what if we, maybe we could do something like that. And I think it was Tim who said, so how about we expand this to not just music for Martin, but all of the arts. Then came the title, Arts for Martin. Ooh, that has a nice ring to it. And so I put out the call into the community saying, I would like to invite you to come, to gather, to reflect, as I said before, to reflect not just on this man, who he was, why he's important. You know, we can put him up on a pedestal and kind of compartmentalize him and get a day off and go on with our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why is he important to us in the here and now, here in Northfield, in this year, right now? Why is he important to our lives?
Mm-hmm.
And then to create art or find art that reflects that.
I think that was a really important decision that you made in terms of not just let's do a review of his quotes or his biography or how he's remembered. But
mm-hmm. Which is all important, too.
Yeah, there's places you can go and yes. you can do a project on that. you could yes, research that and yep. present that. Mm-hmm. But this is a different reflection. It's anchored in here and now.
Yeah. So, and I should say, you know, we're a heck of a community because the Arts for Martin is on Friday night, and then on Monday night is the community commemoration, the Northfield commemoration.
And I do have some details on that. Right. We should tell people, and mm-hmm. Sometimes I forget to add that to my notes, and I thought this year I'm going to look that up. The Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration is Monday the 21st at 7 p.m. That's at Emmaus
mm-hmm.
Church on Linden Street, and everybody is welcome, and the speaker is Anthony Teza. They'll have the Northfield Youth Choir, the Justice Choir, and the Black Student Union Dancers. And the 2019 Human Rights Award recipient is the Community Action Center. And so that's another community celebration.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so again, that's on the 21st at 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think probably the delineating difference, they sound a lot alike, don't they? Probably the delineating difference is that we take that piece of reflecting through the arts specifically
mm-hmm.
on Martin Luther King. So it'll be interesting. Two great celebrations.
And there probably are some at both colleges too.
Yes, there are. There's always one at Carleton, and I think there's always one at St. Olaf.
Right. Yeah. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of opportunity for people to make that happen. Now, mm-hmm. you brought in some letters.
I did.
And, I wish it's radio, so we can't.
Yeah.
I mean, think about an old-fashioned typewritten memo. There's just something really with the header and all the perfectly aligned date and very proper, but it's not just any letter.
Are you familiar with the term 6 degrees of separation?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. That's what?
It's that
I knew Sam could explain this. Sam, go.
Through people you know, through like six people who know each other, you can know anyone on the planet. So like I know like this person from school, and they know this uncle they're related to, and that uncle knows this person, and you go through six people, you can get to any of the 7 billion people on the planet.
And so that's kind of an amazing thought too, that we're not that far apart, and that's how this connection.
This is one of the things that drove me at the very beginning, because I had a friend, great friend named Fred Doty. Reverend Dr. Fred Doty. And Fred was the presenter our first year, and also I had him come back our second year to present.
Oh.
Because I was fascinated with this, with the fact that Fred had worked with Dr. Martin Luther King. And Fred and his wife, Kathy, were members of our community at the time. Fred has died, and Kathy has died. But Fred was a minister in California. Back early 60s, and Fred was a man of action, and so Fred picked up the phone one day, and got the number of Martin Luther King's church, and thought, I'm going to call him. Well, so Fred dials the number. Guess who picks up?
That would not happen today. That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy? And Fred, in his hard-charging way, said, I need you to come out and speak to my congregation. You need to come out here. And Dr. King said, well, you know, I'm kind of a busy person.
Yeah,
you know?
This would have been when he was, you know, in mm-hmm. civil rights and marches and, you know, really making a name and expanding his message.
And so they talked, and Dr. King eventually said, well, I tell you what, I can't make that happen, but if you call back in a year, I'll consider it.
And what year again was this? Do you remember?
I think it was 1960.
Okay, so this is a
it's quite early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Fred, being Fred, a year later, called back. Guess who picked up the phone?
Wow, imagine that.
And Dr. King said, Red, you're
persistent.
Kind of persistent here. Okay, I'll come out. And that was the beginning of Fred's work with Martin Luther King. And I wanted my kids at the school, but I also wanted the community to hear Fred and what he could tell us from his direct experience about Martin Luther King. He had wonderful stories.
I can imagine. And you said he was a man of action, and I think that's the key, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He didn't just listen or sit on the sidelines.
Yeah, so 6 degrees of separation. Sam, how far are you separated from Martin Luther King now?
Well, I know Bob.
Hello.
And Bob knows the guest speaker, and the guest speaker knows Martin Luther King, so I'm 3 degrees.
That's pretty close.
So if anyone knows me, and they don't know Bob, somehow. I think Bob's a bigger fit here in the community than I am. But if someone knows me and not Bob for some reason, then you're there 4 degrees.
That is a cool thing.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that, like you said, that works for pretty much everybody. You just need to investigate what are those. You know, you need to find that.
I mean, it's really difficult to find.
Yeah. Some, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it does, and I think it highlights for us how we are more alike. We have more similarities than I think sometimes we emphasize our differences. And
you know, I've come to just put it in this sentence: we're afraid of what we don't know.
Mm.
I came to realize that when I directed a production of West Side Story, we started to talk about the Latino community and the Anglo community. And fears. And I think we're afraid of what we don't know.
Mm.
And I think that's human nature, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So people are afraid of the dark and death.
Mm-hmm. And they don't, because it feels unknowable, or it feels like
we
shouldn't
know what's in the dark.
We shouldn't ask the questions, or let's, put a barrier.
But people are also are afraid of spiders, and we know what those are.
But if you did know more, you might not be as afraid.
Yeah.
So that.
So we need to get together and know more about each other. We need to share. Going back to that word.
Aha.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I wish I could remember where I heard this, but they were. This person was talking about just, take take an extra minute to. Just learn about somebody that you maybe, someone that you encounter at the coffee shop where you get, your regular latte. Mm-hmm. Take a moment, get away from that busy, that, I got to go here, I got to go there. Like, allow yourself that gift to ask that question.
Fear is so, it grabs hold of us, or it kind of sneaks up on us. More than grabs hold, I think, sometimes.
Right. And it builds if you give it space.
Yeah.
So this night is not about that. This night is about that other part of, the opposite, the love, the sharing that we talked about.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful, that's a beautiful way to end. Unless we've got some more things that we missed. What do we need to share with our listeners about Arts for Martin, or what is planned for the night? Anything else we should add?
I think we covered a lot.
I think we did a good job.
Yeah.
And I said at the beginning, it's hard to tell people what this, what you love about it if you haven't been and you don't know. But I hope we've given you that opening to say, I think I want to check that out.
Yeah, it's one of those, you got to be there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's free, so.
Yeah.
It just you just got to call your neighbor and say, let's get in the car and let's go out to Arcadia on Friday, January 18th at 7 p.m.
Where's that located again?
It is at 1719 Cannon Road.
Ready?
Behind the Perkins. And adjacent to the safety center.
Okay. They won't forget. They won't forget. You will be known. That is something that happens all the time. Well, I thank you both for being here, Sam Wilmot and Bob Gregor Bjorklund. Thanks for coming, even though you had a little bit of
Paula.
The crazy cough.
Sorry about the coughing, everybody.
Well, we We forgive you because you have great stories and great art that you're going to present for us. This is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, and I thank you all for listening to the show and want to remind you again of a couple of events happening. One is tonight, and that is down at the Paradise Center for the Arts. Actually, no, it's not. Is it tonight? I think I forgot to add that to my list. So there is an event at the Paradise tonight. There's a musician coming, and I don't have her name right now. Check that out. Sorry about that. I goofed on that's Friday. But then on Saturday the 12th at 7:30, there is a new Minnesota Comedy Showcase coming. And I think that's kind of a cool thing that they're doing. As Krista Twitchell mentioned, the Federal Express, the delivery guy, the FedEx guy, does a little stand-up on the side. And he coordinated this night of local Minnesota comedians. And so it's a whole night of laughter. Sometimes we could really use that. So the box office is Paradise CenterForTheArts.org. Also want to mention the classes that I talked about last week, Intro to Improv. There's two sets, one for adults and one for teens. That's happening on Saturday the 26th. The adult class is from 10 to noon, and then the teen workshop is from 2 to 4, and that's taught by the fabulous Dion Heider, and you can get information at NorthfieldArtsGuild.org. That's going to be at the theater. You do need to pre-register for that, so be sure and sign up. That's a great way to step a little bit out of your comfort zone and maybe start getting rid of some of those fears that can sometimes build up. It's a good way to break through. And I thought it was interesting, the quote that I had pulled for today from a Martin Luther King Jr. is, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." So that's something to ponder as you go about your week. Folks, I hope you add some Art Zany to your life. I thank you for being a part of the show, and I truly hope that until next time, you take some time to enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. Ring in the new year with more great music and comedy. Annie Mack, named one of First Avenue's best new bands in 2018, performs a listening room style concert at the Paradise as part of the Acoustic Gallery on Friday, January the 11th at 7 p.m. On Saturday, January 12th at 7:30, get your laugh on as the Paradise premieres the new Minnesota Comedy Showcase featuring seven new and emerging Minnesota comedians. Tickets on sale at ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org or call 507-332-7372.